hate this job.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your locals.
I'm starting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered here today.
And MBs.
And MBs, dolls, witches, fays and fairs, Z's and Zems. We're gathered here today to pay tribute to Ryan, our beloved co-host, who is not with us this evening.
He's dead?
Because he has caught tummy hurt.
I can't believe Ryan is dead.
He's not dead, he just has tummy hurt, goddammit!
We will all dearly miss the boy that lived in our phones. Everyone, please pause this podcast right now and give a minute's silence for Ryan.
Pour yourself a Four Loko. Press F on your phone keyboard.
It's what he would have wanted.
It's what he would have wanted, yes. So we've replaced him. Immediately, like that. Hello and welcome to Stargate Oversight. I'm Hope Frail. My pronouns are she and her. She and it. Fuck. My brain.
I am Arctisha Frost, and my pronouns are she and her.
And I am Violet the Bat. My pronouns are she and they.
Yeah, that's right. Violet is here as a representative of the Weyland-Yutani Corporation.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Yes. Yes, she is. She's here from their film studies division, because we thought a James Cameron movie, we should actually get someone who's studied film, unlike us hogs who have just seen too many movies.
That's right.
Applause, guy.
So, sorry, you go.
I have to ask a question before we start.
Uh-huh.
What version did you guys watch?
I watched whatever the version of Disney Plus was.
I watched... It's on Disney Plus.
Yep.
Huh.
I
have all the Alien movies on, like, DVD. So I watched the theatrical cut because I figured that would be more simple.
Shit, I watched the special edition.
Okay, how long was the runtime on the special edition?
Not much longer. I looked at what they added. They basically added, like, a scene downstairs with the sentry guns, a jump scare with a hamper.
I remember the special edition. Okay.
Yeah, it's got, like, two scenes at the start, a hamper, some sentry gun bits. Not much.
All right. So, I think before we actually start talking about the movie, we should probably do a recap on what happened in the first film, Alien.
No, we don't.
Okay, no?
No.
Yeah, we do.
Like, I think we can do a quick recap on the plot of the first movie.
Okay, fine. Here we are. A bunch of space truckers were told by their boss, hey, go check this shit out. They checked that shit out. They bought a fucking alien, and it turned out the shit that the boss wanted them to check out was a fucking alien race that reproduces by fucking your face and exploding out of your chest.
That's
and
right.
Then killing everyone on board.
Yep.
There's just one problem.
Yep.
One of the people on board was Sigourney motherfucking Weaver, and she had a flamethrower and a cat.
You can't forget the cat. The cat is important.
The cat is very important.
Jonesy. In fact,
I'm just going to send you to a very important picture from the filming of Alien.
Hell yeah!
This has once again reaffirmed my commitment to being a lesbian.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, yep, of course, yes, the main character, Ellen Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver, best known for her... one time she did a cameo in an episode of the British television show Doc Martin.
She was also a minor character in some small film that no one's heard of. I think it's called Ghostbusters or something. Don't worry about it.
No, no one cares about that movie.
Yeah, that actually is, by the way, if you thought I was joking there, random audience people, there is actually a story there where I don't know what she was filming at the time, but she was filming something in Britain. And nearby, they were filming a British TV show called Doc Martin, which is a show about a country doctor. And when she was like, oh, they're filming nearby, and she was like, you know what? Put me in, coach. Let me just have a random cameo in this British TV show, because why not? Because I'm here.
British don't care.
And so, yeah, people, old people looking at their TV, see a random cameo from a person picking up their prescription at the doctor's and being like, yo, is that fucking Sigourney Weaver?
Is that fucking Sigourney Weaver?
So, yeah.
It was Avatar, by the way. The movie was fucking Avatar.
It was Avatar?
Yes.
Yeah, she was
in Avatar. I mean, no, she was in Avatar. Why the fuck were they filming Avatar in the UK?
Yeah. It was 2015. Okay, the show was released in 2015. Yeah. I don't know why. They were doing weird shit. We don't talk about Avatar. It's a weird fuck. Oh, actually, no, we should talk about Avatar, I think. Avatar's a bonus episode of the future.
Well, it's going to be about how mid it is.
Obviously.
Or how weird the... And I haven't actually been to it because I went to Disney when I was a very small child, but about how weird the fucking Avatar park at Disney is.
I mean, Avatar is just like the perfect example of our point about how fucked up the American military is, because that is the American military in space being incompetent.
Well, I think it's also very analogous sort of historical European colonialism and how it mythologizes itself, especially with the actual park itself, and how it talks about how humans and the Na'vi became amazing great friends. But very crucially, there are no Na'vi actually at the park because, you know, they're supposed to be incredibly tall, so they can't actually get people to have, like, costumes of it. So they just got to pretend like, oh, yeah, they're totally still alive here, by the way.
We just hiding, just casually burning the blankets labeled smallpox.
Yeah. So we are here today to talk about aliens and not Avatar.
Oh, man. I must say, I fucking love the original Alien movie. It's the perfect sci-fi horror.
It's the best sci-fi horror.
So yeah, the original movie was a sci-fi horror movie directed by Ridley Scott. It was a lot more of like a, I guess you'd say like a slower pace, sort of more tense sort of atmospheric horror. And yep. Aliens, developed by James Cameron, who is James Cameron, is not that.
His name is James Cameron, the bravest pioneer. No budget too steep, no sea too deep. Who's that? It's him, James Cameron.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, we're going to take this sci-fi horror, this very atmospheric thing that's a critique of capital, and turn it into an action movie that still critiques capital and the Marines.
Yep. To be fair, turned it into a very, very good action movie.
Oh, it is, again. Aliens is considered to be like the sequel. A lot of people say this is the sequel that's better than the original, which you can't really compare.
I don't know.
Different genres.
I have to
compare. They have
original.
Like massively different budgets.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think you shouldn't compare the two because they're two. They're not the same genre. They're two very different movies.
Yeah.
Which I mean, we'll get into it, but I think thematically, in terms of the plot, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to be very different movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And the reason for that is, well, it's pretty much at the start of the movie, which is...
It's 50 years later.
Yeah, exactly. It's 50 years later, after the end of the first movie, after...
killing the alien.
Ripley gets into basically a cryostasis pod and is lost in space for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And of course, since it's been 50 years now, that means now that they have really big guns.
Yeah, everything's changed. But everything has changed except war, because war never changes. And we see Ripley and the spaceship. It's frozen solid. And Rainbow and Team Rainbow have come to rescue her.
Well, no, they have not come to rescue her.
Metal oxide and metal powder in just the right way. It burns at 2,000 degrees Celsius.
Thermite is there. He's doing the salvage operation, at
well,
least.
They're a salvage operation. They're not there to rescue her. They're there to scrap everything and, like, some money, and then they get really annoyed because they find a live person in there, and they go, well, you can't scrap this fucking pod now. There's a person in here.
Yeah, in the future, in this capitalist shithole, people actually have morals and won't just kill someone in cryosleep that's registered as dead.
I mean, to be fair, they don't know who she is, right? At this point, they could be, no. She could be someone who's, like, went missing on, like, a really old crappy ship, like, 2 years ago, for all they know, like... They can't just like.
Oh, I guess
they can't just like fucking. They can't just fucking like murder some random person.
I mean, I think it's more they're doing it on the off chance she's someone important that they'll get paid a lot for.
True.
Because otherwise, true. Like, if you think of that, otherwise you just fucking kill her and take the shit because this is a museum piece, really.
Okay, yes, but again, these are just sort of, like, normal people. They're not, like, huge. They're not, like, the company guys, so they probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they thaw her out, take her to a medical facility to sort of treat her and get her back on her feet.
Yeah, I can I gush? Can I gush? Can I? I fucking love this set. It, like, I love the matte painting we had earlier for the whole scene with the pod floating in space. But the set for this is so gorgeous. It's this clunky, bulky, retro-futurist aesthetic. Everything's tactile, and it's just so good. And the fact that it was something that was established so well and set up so perfectly, they were able to make Alien Isolation look just molto bene, bang on point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
God, I want a sequel to Alien Isolation so bad.
I need to finish that game. I didn't actually...
Same.
I didn't actually get that. I got into, like, when you actually encounter the alien for the first time, then I was
Oh, you were, like,
little...
nowhere in.
Oh, yeah. I was a scared little baby.
I'm in the same point, except I got hard locked in place because the alien bugged out and wouldn't move. And I didn't have any way to make it move. So I didn't have any sales.
Theoretically, the alien is supposed to just fuck off after a while if it locks you, but I guess it didn't do that.
Yeah, it just didn't.
Because, yeah, the way it's supposed to work is that if the game, like, basically it has logic where if you've been, like, stuck hiding in a certain area for a long time, it will just give you a break and get the alien to fuck off. Otherwise, it's going to be like you're not progressing at all.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think also just reloading the save works pretty well.
See, okay, we can sort of go into this, but yeah, the alien AI and that works very interesting in that it basically has two AIs.
Want to do a special and play Alien Isolation together?
Fuck yeah, we can do that, but yeah, it basically has two AIs where one of them knows exactly where you are at all times.
Okay.
And the other one is base, which is not the main AI, but then there's the main AI, which basically... gives the alien, basically does colder, warm, and sort of gives it a vague idea of where you are, and so it searches around the places that you are, and then after a while, if it doesn't find you, it fucks off.
Nice. Hell yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ripley is alive and well in the medical ward, and We see, for the first time, a greasy man bringing her an adorable ginger cat.
Yes. Yes, that was Jonesy, who was the ship's cat from the first movie, who was in the
Quiet Jonesy is the only other survivor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, just her and the cat lived. Yep.
Something that's forgotten about by the time of Alien 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the cat. It was the... Would you click the cat to, like, come back and
stop
finding?
We don't fucking talk about Alien 3, though.
We don't know.
I've never actually seen Alien 3, so I can't Good. Comment on it.
Yeah, I have a snide comment about it at the end.
So, she wakes up and looks down at her arm, finds, oh my god, it's a weird robot arm now. A Greek guy comes up to her and tells her she's been out for 9 years. Then XOF attacks the hospital.
That's Metal Gear Solid 5, honey. Actually happens is the greasy man says, "Hi, my name's Burke. I work for the company, but I'm a nice guy, I promise."
So I do have a little fact about the company.
The company?
So, in this movie, this is when we actually... fully confirm what the name of the company is, which is Weyland-Yutani.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the company's name is technically in Alien.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly what it is. It's just some, like, background prop, like a something on the ship that has Weyland-Yutani written on it. But at that point in Alien, in the original movie, that was not supposed to just be, like, what the company was called. That was just, like, some set dressing where it was like, this is just some random company's branding on a thing to make it look real. And then since, you know, that was a name that they just had in the background in the first movie, they were like, well, let's just call the company that. So that's how we have Weyland-Yutani.
I think the funny thing is that, well, when you compare it to Alien versus Predator 1 and 2, the fact that the individual Weyland and Yutani corps show up in those. So it's like, yes, Weyland Corps sponsors the Alien, the trip to Antarctica in AVP 1, and Yutani Corps are involved doing something in the town in AVP 2. Both of the names are there in the background.
I do not fucking remember that at all. I do not remember Alien versus Predator, aside from the woman.
A woman?
Hello, madam.
He tells her that it's been a, you know, it's been a considerable amount of time, and you know, don't panic, but
you've been asleep for 57 years, Ripley. Everything's fucked.
And then suddenly a chest burster pops out of her and she dies.
Yeah, movie's over. Go home, everyone. What does this movie have to say about the military? Nothing.
Yeah, didn't even show up. Didn't even show up, yeah.
Hmm.
So, it's really abstract. Cameron really entered a new era of filmmaking with that.
I do want to say, though, could you have picked a more on-the-nose name for this guy? For those of you that don't know your history, Mr. Hare and Mr. Burke were famous body snatchers, known for doing fucked up things with corpses and selling things from corpses.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. This is clearly a very kind, good man who's just here to, you know, make sure she's okay, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there is one of the good things from the Bigot special edition. Mm-hmm. Isn't it the scene after this? You guys probably didn't see this. Ripley is sitting on a bench against a projected background of nature. And Burke shows up and says, I'm so sorry, Ripley. We found your daughter.
Oh,
she
yes!
She died age 67.
So...
And he gives her a picture of Sigourney Weaver's mom.
I didn't know that fact. So yeah, I have, now that you mentioned that, I realized that I actually have seen that cut before. It isn't what I watched just now, but yeah.
Hmm. No, that goes directly against Alien Isolation.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. There's a possibility that Ellen Ripley survives Alien Isolation.
Ellen Ripley is not in Alien Isolation. You mean Amanda?
Yeah, Amanda, sorry. Yeah.
No.
We wouldn't fucking know because we don't have a sequel.
I mean, here's the thing. It just says she died of old age, so we can assume she survived Alien Isolation and died in her sleep, dealing with nightmares about, oh god, the station is full of xenomorph. Oh god, why is there a chestburster hiding there?
Also, I mean, I guess we would get an answer if they made another one, but... you'd have think if she survived to be able to die of old age on Earth, you thought maybe she might have mentioned the alien.
Don't tell anyone or we'll shoot you. Here is a lot of money. Shut up. Except because of Alien Resurrection, we know Earth is a shithole.
I mean,
that's several hundred years.
I mean, we know that.
Alien Resurrection.
We know that. We know that. We live on it.
Hmm.
So
I will defend Alien Resurrection because mostly because Sigourney Weaver and fuck, her name escapes me. Who's the woman that plays the android?
Doesn't matter. The movie sucked.
They were they had some incredibly gay scenes together.
Yes. However,
Winona Ryder, Sigourney Weaver and Winona Ryder were very gay on set.
Yes,
in that movie.
However, alien human baby.
Yes, it's hilarious.
Hold up. Nobody told me there was a movie with gay Sigourney Weaver and gay Winona Ryder.
You don't need to watch it. It's
they're flirting with each other.
If you watch Alien Resurrection, you will lose all faith in the Alien franchise.
I mean, Alien 3 already took that outside behind the shed and killed it like old Yella.
Well, yeah, but at least it didn't have baby human alien.
And then Prometheus came and ran it over with a steamroller.
Okay, well, I kind of like Prometheus. Well, I don't like Prometheus, but it has decent ideas.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes. So, So Ripley gets called in to be interrogated by all of the fucking executives.
She's brought into a trade union hearing.
She's like, so, honey, tell us why you blew up a $42 million spaceship.
Alien. Aliens.
I'm a girl, boss. Fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, no, that is true. I mean, a lot of people's appreciation of Ripley comes from the, you're a girl boss. Which,
I mean,
really
she is,
stood out in the 80s.
I mean, she is girl boss, brackets good. So.
Yeah, no, she is girl bossing. She doesn't need to do anything else.
Yeah, and they're like, so why did you do it? Because there was an alien there. Why'd you do it? Because there was an alien there. Why'd you do it? Because there was an alien there. Can you prove there was an alien there? No, fuck you. There was an alien there.
Yeah, go here. There's the aliens there. Oh, we've been there for years. There's nothing going on.
We've had a colony there the whole time.
I don't know. How the fuck, how fast did it go that they, like, lose contact? They were there for years, and then all of a sudden they lose contact, like, as soon as
the
Sigourney Weaver wakes
up. The special edition does establish why. I think it's mentioned in the main movie as well.
It is mentioned later on in the main movie. Well, also that Ripley also implies how long a certain character has been there on the station, so we can surmise that it's been probably at least a couple of weeks already, so they've already lost contact, and they already...
Around a month.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, probably even, yeah, okay, so yeah, they are fully aware, like, they're completely aware at this point.
Yeah, at this point, the message has gone. Which, I know we want to talk about this scene, but can I just say, to the executive smoking a cigarette with the long hair, hello, madam.
No. I'm sorry, honey, but,
Listen, she's a corporate scumbag.
All corporate executives, not a single goddamn one of them.
But she's hot. If hot, why evil?
Yeah, hot people have never been evil before.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to Arknights for the entire genre of women being evil and hot.
Yeah, they invented that, apparently, I guess.
I love this podcast. I love doing this podcast.
So, yeah, she's like, fuck all of you, I'm going home now.
Yeah, I've got a new job. I'm gonna get a job, and fuck you.
So then, I don't know how much time has passed since then in the meeting, but Burke goes to visit her at her place.
Okay, so the special edition has two scenes here.
Okay, right, so Karen, yep, go.
So we cut to the colony, and we see, like, the inside of the colony all thriving and alive, and two guys are talking, and we get a great summary of politics.
They don't say why, and I don't ask. I don't ask because it takes 2 weeks to get an answer out here, and the answer is always don't ask.
I think that's a Skarsgård as well saying that. It's definitely, like, a very famous, well-known actor. Maybe he's in Doctor Who, that's where I recognize the guy from.
I mean, saying it's a Skarsgård doesn't really tell anything, because it's like 50 of those guys. Mm. Well, they clone them in a vat.
Especially Bill Skarsgård is 100% cloned.
So, yeah, so Burke shows up at her place and it's like, so,
Ripley, we done fucked up. Hell!
We done fucky wucky and, we've lost contact. They're probably all dead. We're sending in the Colonial Marines, who have probably done a shitload of war crimes.
They're fine. We think they're based. They're doing work for us.
Yeah, we want you to go in there as an advisor.
Yeah.
Hey, Ripley, you don't want to do it? Hey, Ripley, you don't want to do it? Hey, I heard your job's really shit. How'd they won't give you your old job back? Hey, I heard your job's really shit.
Yeah, how'd you like loading shit in a forklift? Did a little bit of bribery and said, hey, would you like to be a spaceship pilot again?
Could you just imagine, like, if he did that and her, instead of just refusing because she doesn't want to go back, her response is in like, actually, no, I really would not like to be
a... Yeah, I really like...
her again.
Mm. yeah, I really like actually just doing the forklift shit. And it turns out that it's doing wonders to my finger control. Girls love it.
But yes, Ripley refuses the call. And
In the theatrical edition, she refuses it for literally one scene.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. Oh, I've had a nightmare. I'll do it.
Yes, yeah, she has a nightmare. She calls up Burke in the middle of the night, who's like fucking naked and being like, this isn't appropriate. I'm going to have to contact HR in the morning. For this,
I mean, hopefully. What's just out of shot is the rent boy that Burke has paid for the night.
His humongous, giant, throbbing alien
butt plug. Face hugger.
So, yeah. It's like, so I will agree to go there, but the mission is to kill all of them, right?
Yes.
And Burke says yes, with his fingers crossed behind his back.
Mm. Dude, Burke, I remember watching this movie for the first time, and I didn't pay attention to all the themes and stuff. So Burke becoming a fucking massive dickhead later on in the movie was like such a massive shock. And I was like, oh my god, Burke is such an asshole.
I mean, it shouldn't be that much of a massive shock if you consider that really it's the plot of the first movie again.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, but
they're doing the same shit as they did in the first movie.
I watched this when I was like 14. I had no idea.
What is media literacy?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd also want to point out that if you'd seen the theatrical cut, again, there is the scene with Burke being very sympathetic to Ripley of her daughter being dead and Ripley having outlived her daughter by virtue of Chrysler. Like, that really helps set Burke up as being a lot more of a friendly figure.
Yeah.
Which the theatrical cut keeps until the mask drops.
Yeah. At this point, we know he's a corpo guy, but it's like, maybe he doesn't know the whole story. Maybe he's just, you know, like message boy, right?
Yeah,
We don't really know his position in the company, really.
Yeah. No, it's probably errand bitch, because you've got this return spacer. Oh, she's probably not worth much. She's got some crazy stories. Maybe she knows something. They'll send a junior exec. They won't send an executive. They'll send a junior desk boy or something. Someone who can barely afford a rent boy.
I think that's why I like Burke in this movie. Because he is... he's like a massive conniving asshole later. But he starts out, at least in the theatrical cut, you know, sympathetic to an extent.
Mm.
But we can't talk about Burke for much longer. Because we have to eat our special crayon eaters, baby!
Again, I love the set work. The set is beautiful. The music is beautiful. I love cinema. I love that we get to do a good movie for once.
I will say one thing about the set.
Okay.
Alien has a better set.
Yes, it does, but it's deliberately aping the shot from Alien.
But do you know what this set has? That,
Chekhov's power loader?
No.
A mirror to double up on the amount of pods on the ship.
It has fucking Vasquez, baby!
We'll get to Vasquez.
We'll get to Vasquez.
But yeah, we see Chekhov's power loader, and it's time to wake up the Marines, and we see that one of the guys is called fucking Spunkmeyer.
Yes! Yeah, and also we see Sergeant Johnson from Halo, isn't there?
Yeah, what is Sergeant Johnson from Halo doing here? I thought he died by ball.
Gunnery Sergeant Apone, who is like, yeah, he's like the tough bastard Marine guy. He is genuinely the actual inspiration behind Sergeant Johnson from Halo.
They're the exact same fucking person. I have some lines from him. But more importantly, I want to point out, seeing Ripley, like, in just her vest and panties does make me wonder if
spray
the story
bottle,
from...
Spray bottle, spray bottle.
No, I'm not talking about how hot she is, but she is hot. I'm talking about the story from Alien that they had to airbrush her bush.
I don't think it's true, but it's a funny story. Okay, so okay, there's an urban legend about the first Alien movie that in the scene when they're all doing that cryo stuff and they're all in like their underwear and cryo and things like that, the urban legend goes that Sigourney Weaver had a very large amount of pubic hair, yes, to which they said, you've got to shave this off, and she said, no, go fuck yourself, and had to airbrush it out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's true, but it's a very funny story still.
That reminds me of, this is like the one fun fact about this movie. In 50 Shades of Grey, they CGI'd out, I think, her bush during one of the sex scenes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's possibly mutated from there.
But it's a very well-known urban legend about Alien. I don't think it's true, but it's funny. It's funny to imagine Sigourney Weaver saying just to go fuck themselves.
I would like it to be... It's one of those things that I would like it to be true.
Probably isn't, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch the special... I didn't watch it behind the scenes of my edition. It could have.
So, yeah, we get the crowning marines, and one of them corrects another one of them and says trans women are women, actually.
Yeah, no, we get female marines, we get male marines. I love that the first thing Sergeant Johnson does after he gets out of cryo is he lights himself a fucking stogie.
I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be like Predator again.
So they're all like, he's giving his like, get on your feet, blah, 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 you, blah, 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 blah.
You know this line?
Oh. All right, sweetheart, so what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed?
So yeah, if you've seen any military movie before, you know what this guy is.
Another glorious day in the Corps.
I love this guy. He's brilliant. Again, when you have a movie and you can tell the actor is having fun with their role, we're in for a good time.
The bit I was doing, in case you didn't get it, is they're talking about going to the colonies and all that shit.
Yep, they are.
Yeah, I can't remember which one of them says it, but they're like, yo, I want to fuck them colony women.
Yeah, one of them says they want to fuck their colony women. The other one goes, yeah, but last time you went on leave, you fucked an Arcturan, and Puntang is Puntang, even when it's a guy.
The guy goes, fuck you, I don't care, trans women are women.
Yeah.
And she domed me off, and it was great.
Yeah, I fucked her in the bussy, and I had a great time. Also, one of the Marines is truly one of us.
I hate this job.
Me, every day I have to go into work. But yeah, it is quite funny that the Marines are just very like gung-ho about being servants of colonialism. Yeah, we're here to kill them all. Yeah, we're here to fuck the women. Yeah, we do things to aliens. Yeah, we do the shit, but it's fucking cool. Hoorah! We're at least having fun.
They're the best oorah people.
This is actually
them and the people from Predator.
I think these are a very unrealistic depiction of Marines, actually, because
they're not eating crayons.
Not that, but also because like this like Marine bravado I think we're seeing here. This is like boot behavior. This is like the bravado of people who haven't actually been deployed yet.
I mean, one of them does say that he's only had two like active missions.
Yeah, he's the pussy.
Yeah, that's the lieutenant. That's the fucking lieutenant. Which,
but yeah,
we'll get to the lieutenant being a cock later.
Yeah, they're all displaying boot behavior, is what I'm saying.
Listen, right? When she's hot and she says, "Get down on your knees and clean those boots," you say yes, okay? There's nothing wrong with boop.
So yeah, they're all, you know, they're in the mess hall, they're getting their food, and they're like, hey, guy, come over here, do that knife thing that you do.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, hey, Bishop from the first movie is back, and he's here to do a sick-ass knife trick.
It was a sick ass night. It was a sick trick.
Yeah, yeah. This sick trick, which has one purpose and one purpose only, which is so that he accidentally nicks himself with the knife, and so he can bleed the Metal Gear Solid cum blood and let Ripley know that he's a robot man.
Yeah, yeah. Ellen Ripley, space racist.
Yeah. So yeah. Returning sort of to the first movie, the plot of this movie happened already in the first movie, where one of their crew members was secretly a company robot who was like, "Actually, we knew what was going on here the whole time. We came here to deliberately get this sample, and we're going to get it back."
Can't let you do that, Ellen.
Yes, exactly. So she's like, "Oh no! Last time I saw a fucking robot." He's trying to stop. He tried to, like, make us all die for the company.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to die for the company. I don't want to die for anything, motherfucker.
Bishop is like... Yeah, Bishop is genuinely trying to be like, look, it's fine. Like, we've worked...
I get it.
I get it. Like, that. The old robots were really shit. I'm pretty cool. I'm one of the good ones. Please, I'm one of the good ones.
Kill me.
I'm not like the robot rights activists. I'm one of the good ones.
I'm in the core.
I believe in biology just like you.
Bishop does bring around the point, though. At least I was thinking this while watching the movie. Why don't the future... colonial marines just use androids for missions against xenomorphs, because essentially the colonial marines end up becoming kind of like a xenomorph exterminating task force.
I mean, I think as soon as you know the lifespan of the xenomorph makes sense, but also not to quote Alien Resurrection again, but something went wrong with the robots.
About Alien Resurrection.
You're talking about future canon. That is also future canon.
We don't know. I swear to God, if I ever get the chance to do an Alien movie, I will do Alien 3 just to piss everyone off and make an actual good movie. Fuck those last two movies. They're awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Listen, Alien Resurrection is good as long as you take it out of canon. It is enjoyable. It is schlocky. Fucking Sigourney Weaver and Winona Ryder should probably be making out over it, you know.
So,
anyway. Yeah, the Marines have got themselves a new lieutenant, and he is
a cock.
He is a Rupert. Yes.
He's like, yeah. Here, this is a boy who is like, yeah. What's my? Don't worry, I've got tons of experience. I played all of the Call of Duty campaigns. I'm pretty high ranked in my player, so I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I got winner chicken dinner in Warzone once. You know, I think I'm pretty good. I get my ass clapped in Apex, but real life isn't like Apex.
Yeah, he should have been playing Apex. He would have actually been prepared.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? What's going to really happen? We're going to go to this planet. We're going to encounter some kind of Apex predator there.
No, it's just going to be another bug hunt, you know, because also, I think someone pointed this out, I can't remember who it was, but someone pointed out that how the Colonial Marines treat aliens, the aliens are actually really common in this universe, just the average person doesn't fucking know about them because the Colonial Marines kill them or collar them into servitude to the company.
Damn. I wish I could collar an alien.
Do they collar them?
It's very, considering like the Arcturians are implied to be a different alien race and they're implied to be some kind of client species. So I would say yes. Like colonial marines, colonialism. It's a lore discussion to have, but you could argue that there's definitely what the colonial marines say is evidence that there being a lot of aliens actually out there, and the xenomorph that's why they're just like, nobody's scared of the xenomorph. What's the worst that could happen? Oh, fuck me, it's an Apex Predator.
True.
Oh, well, yeah. It's time to meet the Marines. The dinner's done. The Marines are out. And
I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, the Marines have come out. And they're there to be told all about their...
Know the drill, assholes and elbows.
Yeah. Yeah, their sergeant is a their sergeant lovingly looks out for them, tells them to wash their assholes and their elbows, you know, gotta do basic 3-point hygiene and prepare for combat. But we also get, we've had setup. Now we get reminder because Ripley gets in a fucking pile and is like, listen, I can help. I would like to win some respect from the boys. And just gets in the power loader.
What do you know about operating some kind of cargo lifting mech robot?
This motherfucker.
So you like to use cargo lifting mech robots.
Once again, Ellen Ripley consistently being queer-coded despite being straight.
Well, to be fair, we don't know that she's straight.
Okay,
she's
never
she
might be bi.
On screen.
Exactly. She might be bi.
Yeah, okay, fine. She's probably... mustn't mention Alien Resurrection.
It's such a good movie. Once.
Your berserk button. This is hilarious.
So, yeah, this is actually where we reveal that this is actually a trick the whole time. And, yeah, so... Hope, why don't you tell us what happens at the start of Alien Resurrection? We just baited Violet here. The entire first 40 minutes of this record. No.
Doing a bit.
Please, no.
Yeah, we hit a gaslight gatekeep and girl boss, our guest. So, the Marines have got their toys. They've got their boys. They're ready for...
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
And we also get to learn again how cocked the lieutenant is.
How many drops you done, lieutenant?
I've done tons in VR.
How many real drops you done?
Two.
Including this one?
Yes.
So, yeah. Once again,
movie is like, he's cocked.
Yeah, the key message of every military show we've watched, nearly every military show, do not trust anyone whose rank is above sergeant. With the exception of Stargate, because she's a captain and he's a colonel, but...
Well, I think more what they're like is this guy is like a commissioned guy who's like straight out of like officer like academy.
Yes.
Like, he's, like this is like, this is a guy who's not there through merit, right?
Hmm. This is a guy whose dad paid for his college tuition. I mean, considering his entire job is, I get to sit in the APC and tell you what to do. Which, I'd like that job.
Would you?
Maybe not on this mission.
Yeah, not on this mission. I don't think you want the job. So yeah, they, you know, they're pulling in. And I don't even remember why I made this. No, I just haven't noticed that I love Vasquez. But,
Vasquez.
Yeah, at some point I have a hello, Corporal. Hello, Corporal Vasquez. At some point.
So
yes, right. Yes, they do the drop. They arrive and they're fucking. They drop the APC off.
Oh no! And... This is not an APC. Hope. This is the Batmobile. They drop him.
Yeah.
Okay, I completely forgot about this vehicle because like it's rarely used in Alien.
It looks like the fucking Batmobile.
It is fucking dope. It has two giant guns. Listen,
that never
this is,
get used.
This they get used once, I think. We've got, yeah, they've got all the toys on board, from plasma to nukes to sticks to peaches, you know? They're prepared for everything.
Yeah, they have Nicolas Cage on board.
Yeah, it's...
another glorious day in the Corps.
And then we say hello to Corporal Vasquez, and Corporal Vasquez, hello.
Indeed.
I love a woman with a big gun.
Yeah, they're all sort of checking out the facility. It's all horribly damaged and it's all very fucked up. Clearly they've already like torn through this place and like, no one's here, it's probably fine. Yeah, they're like, oh, it's fine, there's no one here. Like, I'm sorry, do you think that like the aliens just sort of like took a taxi and left? Like,
I mean,
no, they're clearly still here. They're definitely still here.
Listen, right? This place is abandoned. The cables are all ripped out. There's acid holes in the floor. Everything is fine.
Yeah. There's acid holes in the floor. And I'm like, huh, this is weird. Just after Ripley tells them, by the way, these aliens have acid blood.
I do want to talk about the film again, though. I want to stop the sass because the film becomes Kino again. Because they mix the sound of the motion tracker in with the score. And like half
No. I'm not sassing the movie. I'm saying the Marines are crowning morons.
Yes, I agree with you. And I'm stopping from insulting the Marines to compliment the movie for just ba-bum, ba-bum, and just get a little bit of score weaving in.
Yeah, that's right. We've got the motion detector out.
We're waiting for Violet to get her food or
juice. I was just doing a bit.
Okay, do your bit.
Yeah, so we got the motion tracker out, and we're playing Alien Trilogy for the PS1.
No, we've got the motion tracker out, and we're playing Aliens Colonial Marines, which is canon!
Nope.
It's allegedly canon.
Yeah, Alien Trilogy is a really weird game. It's not really... It's called Alien Trilogy. It's not following the plot of the Alien Trilogy. And it's essentially a Doom clone where they turn Ripley into Doom Guy. She's just like tearing through countless aliens with just like a regular shotgun.
Yeah. Also the fact that Aliens Colonial Marines has legendary weapons that are not where they're meant to be. Like, that gun's destroyed. That gun's destroyed. That gun's melted by acid. How have you even found this? I will say this. I might as well discuss. Now, what if Violet's get back before we discuss? Because then we do get a bonus scene inserted here. It involves the greatest thing in existence.
Me?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Aw, thank you.
Also, let me check in on my
That break was God, brought you're... to you by Portillo's.
Oh, thank God you're back. We thought the company, like, got rid of you.
Yeah, we thought the company got you.
I am Weyland Yutani.
Damn. Oh, Max Verstappen's in the lead. Fuck.
Goddamn.
Alright, so, we get some Kino, and then something shows up on the motion tracker. In the special edition.
Beep. No, that's on the regular.
Oh, is the hamster in the regular edition?
No, the hamster is not in the regular
edition. Oh, not the hamster, okay, because something shows up on the... Oh, sorry, no. So, okay, I don't see that. We don't get the hamster now, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. You get a fake out where it's like something's going on, the Marines kick in the door, and they point a gun at a hamster.
Why?
Because
the original theatrical cut already does a fake out, like a scene after this.
Yeah,
that is. I have a feeling they might have probably had footage, and then they mixed it with the what was actually cut.
Probably.
So yeah, they were like, "Huh, this is really weird. We found this sort of lab in here, and they've got these funky boys in these containers."
Yeah, but it's okay because we've left the command. We have all left the command post car. You know, the thing that's safe and armored and has a big gun. What's the harm in going inside?
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry. Like, we're inspecting, like, these facehuggers in containment. I'm sure they won't get out. Burke is, like, really looking after them, making sure they're good. So I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Oh, we're inside their last stand position. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, their last stand obviously went so well for them, so we're going to be fine here, too.
It did.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, we get a motion detect. We get a signal again. We get some motion detected. And so they go and follow it into the corridor, at which point they see movement out there.
Must kill the child.
Amazing. Mission complete.
Yeah.
That right there is why you're the best boss. The one and only.
Yeah. The Colonial Marines nearly kill a fucking child.
Good.
Yeah, we kill the child, we leave.
Can I say something that's going
you
to
can
be...
say anything whenever you want to, Violet. Okay. That's the whole point. You're a guest.
Can I say something? Because it's how I initiate conversation, you fucking ape. Asshole. What is it? Yes, so Aliens 3. I'm going to spoil a bit of the movie of Alien 2 because it leads into Alien 3 and it's about this kind of topic. So, Newt. People that don't know, Alien 3 had a bunch of production problems, especially with the script, because there's like rewrite after rewrite after rewrite, which is why it's not canon.
Mm-hmm.
So Newt survives Alien 2. She dies at the beginning of Alien 3 and super stupid.
Along with the other Marine. Yes. Hex.
Hex, yeah.
Newt and Hex fucking bite it off screen.
Apparently the reason because of this is because like the one of the last people that got the script just didn't like Newt in Alien 2 and just wrote it into the script that she was going to die.
Oh, okay.
So let's take the emotion.
Yeah, child just dies off screen, cool.
Let's remove the emotional core of the previous movie, who had like a budding, like emotional arc with Sigourney Weaver, that would have been great for her character and everything. No, she's dead.
Oh,
yeah. She's fucking dead.
Fuck! I wish I had the other MGS5 drop, which is just Kaz going, "Never liked kids."
it's fucking dumb.
And this is why Alien 3 sucks.
So They find the child hiding in the vents, sus, I know. They try and pull her out there, she bites the Marines, very cool. We support that, honey. Fucking kill the military, do it. In Roblox. She sort of scampers away into the vents and Ripley goes after her.
Wait, she vented? Sus!
We already did that!
I don't have the noise. Yeah, we've already done that bit before, yeah. Turns out that we've upgraded. Ripley has traded out the adorable cat for a child. And here I am saying, bring the cat back. I care more about a cat.
Jonesy!
I mean, I want to point out, right? Ripley's actions through this movie and Alien 3 leave Jonesy without an owner. Who is feeding that cat?
Well, I choose to believe that he's killed like all of the Weyland Yutani executives when he's been on them.
Yes, Jonesy the killer cat. Like, Ripley just does full on Rapture Christian and just fucks off and leaves her cat. Like, why would, if you believe in the Rapture, why do you own a pet? Like, if the Rapture actually comes, you are abandoning that fucking pet, you horrible human being.
Obviously, it's because they will return to nature and they will
the meek shall inherit the earth.
Yeah, they'll live as God intended them to.
Yeah, the meek shall inherit the earth, and the meek is my cat who can't open a tin of tuna because he doesn't have hands.
Why is it empty, my bowl?
Yeah. I forgot to get a drop, but the kid like looks at Alan, looks at the Marines, and just goes, "You're all going to die down here."
Essentially.
So yeah, they take her back with them, and then the Marines are like, "Hey, child, tell us what happened or I'll kill you."
Child.
Yeah,
they don't even offer us.
They fucking black sight her. They start waterboarding her.
Honestly, they would.
They don't even offer the child some crayons. It's disgraceful.
Well, no, that's there. That's the MREs.
Yeah, but you've got to share your crayons with the child.
Oh god, I'm still like, I think we mentioned it on the pod before, but I still love that fucking article that you sent me.
Oh, the Marine startup making crayons.
Edible crayons for the Marines.
Yes, it's so good. Oh, fuck. Turns out Shell Shock kids need basic human kindness, like cleaning their face, talking calmly to them, patting them on the head.
All stuff that we can't afford in the American military.
Exactly, yeah. Basic human kindness got cut at the first budget meeting.
Well,
what budget meeting? We don't have.
You don't understand. You don't understand Hope. For all we know, this child could be an enemy combatant. So
exactly. Now, listen, Violet. They traded basic human kindness in exchange for the Arleigh Burke class of destroyers, only to find out the Burks don't actually work. Mm. No, it's the other ones. Whatever. I'll change the name in post, so it's actually funny.
So. So
the
yeah,
Burks are the ones that still work. It's the other ones.
So she's like, no, don't call me Rebecca. Call me Newt.
Which, once again, you should respect a person's chosen name and pronouns.
Exactly.
Which,
and she does.
Especially Ripley if they want does. To be a lizard.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a lizard, you know? I can respect that.
And then so Ripley's like, oh, you're so cute, Newt. Why don't you tell me about your parents who are definitely alive? Tell me how alive your parents are.
So, in the deleted scene, Newt's dad is the first victim of a facehugger because we get a long scene of them going out to the derelict with Newt there, and then, like, Newt and her little brother stay in the car, and then Newt's mom just opens the door screaming, and her dad is just there with a facehugger on his face.
Yeah, okay, but, like, Ripley, honey, she was living alone in the vents by herself, like, being a feral child. Like, you're like, oh, where are your parents? Come on, you know they're dead!
Dead. Fucking dead. The alien got them. Ripley, how do you not expect this?
Yeah.
But the colonists are but they managed to get the colony systems working. We get some brilliant 80s wireframe diagrams, and we find that all the colonists are in one place under the cooling towers.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just
the colony.
I'm sure they're hanging out there being perfectly fine.
Yeah, they're in the vibe zone. They're in the vibe zone. They're having a good time.
So yeah, they send them in the Batmobile to the cooling tower.
Yeah, everyone gets in the APC, gets in the Batmobile, loads up, grabs all their guns and ammo, and is prepared for a fight.
And they're sort of searching around. The video feed is really shit because it's 80s cameras.
And then it's like, oh, we're under the nuclear reactor. We can't shoot.
Yeah.
Flamethrowers only, boys and girls. And then Hicks is like, I bought my boomstick.
Indeed he did. Which, as we know from the incredibly canon and incredibly accurate PlayStation 1 video game Alien Trilogy, the shotgun is, quite frankly, one of the most effective weapons against an alien.
Yeah, and as we know from the canon video game Colonial Marines, that shotgun is still intact by the time the Colonial Marines come back.
Why don't you choose an actual video game that matters?
Colonial Marines is supposedly canon.
Oh yeah, no, I was talking about Fireteam Elite.
I hate the fact that Colonial Marines is fucking canon. It's so stupid.
I hate the fact that 2 and 4 are canon.
We haven't slandered him since the beginning of season 1, but I hate the fact that Randy Pitchford weaseled his fucking way out of the goddamn lawsuit with Sega.
Randy Pitchford just flicking his hands, doing a magic trick, and making the lawsuit disappear.
What?
He went to the court. Hey, look at this. I want to do a let me show you a magic trick. Unplugged in his USB and showed them the video of the girl squirting.
Interestingly about that lawsuit. So, for those of you who might remember, the allegations that were made against Gearbox and Randy Pitchford were that Sega had hired them to make an Alien game in the Alien franchise, which was dog shit. And yep. The real like meat behind it was that they were accused of embezzling the money to fund Borderlands.
Ah, story, much like Rooster Teeth embezzling all their money from Volume 5 to make their fucking giant robot anime that sucked.
And they basically, like, devoted all of their resources to Borderlands and contracted out a, like, really shitty, like,
port, yeah.
No, they contracted, like, a really shitty sort of, like,
third party.
Sweatshop, shitty third party.
Yeah.
And despite the fact they did that, broke all contracts, stole a bunch of all of that money, Randy managed to convince Sega to say, well, actually, even though we did all that, it actually wasn't our fault, so I think you should drop us out of the lawsuit and actually just sue the people we contracted out to. And they fucking agreed to do it. They let Randy go.
I think it's because they realized there's no point in they didn't want to fight Randy Pitchford because he just showed them some magic tricks and offered to introduce them to some girls.
He stole your money!
Yes.
Who needs it?
Yeah, but he got the executives laid, and the executives have been struggling to get laid for years. They had to do what former Prime Minister of Japan wanted. They had to have sex.
Yes, I do have to speculate. Because we live in the UK, I do have to say what that part there that Hope just said was a joke. Libel laws are very bad over here, and I do have to specify that part was a joke.
Yeah, we are. This is meaningless speculation for the sake of comedy. We do not know what's happened, what's occurred, or what is happening here. We are merely speculating that Randy Pitchford knows some people.
No, we're not. Anyway.
Do know that Randy Pitchford did leave his hard drive full of girls doing magic tricks in medieval times. That is
US,
a fact.
It was a USB drive, thank you very much. It wasn't a whole hard drive.
potato. <powder. laughs>
But yeah.
Once again, friend of the pod, Randy Pitchford. Wait, sorry, checks notes.
Day since Randy last mentioned counter reset to zero.
Excellent, yes.
Anyway, so...
That timer has now been eclipsed by days since we mentioned the other guy. Now.
Yeah. I don't think we have a cause to mention him in this movie, so I think we'll
No,
okay.
We don't. I think, here's the thing. Sergeant Johnson here prevents a Jack O'Neill award, you could argue.
Go on.
Because... So, as soon as the lieutenant, who is cocked and gay and bad at his job, is like, holy shit, they're underneath the cooling towers. One wrong shot could send the whole thing up like a big boom! He orders Johnson to take all their mags away and prevents a Jack O'Neill. Though, then again, there's no children. Newt is safe, so... Yeah, I don't think Newt's anywhere near a gun,
well,
so can't Jack O'Neill herself.
Someone gets the Jack O'Neill award in this scene. But we'll get there.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. That's true. But yeah, they go in, there's Resin, everything's fucked up, and then there is a screaming woman trapped in Resin having a bad time.
And they're like, hey, let's get her out. Kind of weird. Wonder why she's screaming and crying for us to kill her.
Kill me! Come! Fuck. I know it's the wife, but I think she's played by a well-known actress. I can't remember. Oh, whatever. Carry on.
So, yeah, and they're like, huh, that's really weird. I wonder why she's being like that.
She's being fucking weird.
Oh, look, what's that coming out of her chest? Oh, no.
Women do be screaming hysterically.
They do.
Okay, but are you sorry? Would you be like, oh, I'm mildly perturbed when you have a fucking chest burst ripping
yes.
out of
Man, this fucking sucks.
I'm not sure how I feel about this right now. so it fucking hops out and they immediately like, burn it, kill it.
Yeah, they do. Like, she's literally there and the chest burst just hop out of her chest and like, right, kill it with fire.
Unfortunately, we have some friends, and these friends of ours are not very happy about what they just did.
Well, you know, burning fucking kids, their children.
Yeah.
Yeah, this very nice little alien baby that would not harm them at all.
Hey, they just taught the xenomorphs about abortion. I wonder if that will make it in.
That's making the cut, honey.
Oh fuck.
I mean, technically this is like a post-birth abortion.
Ah, so Leanne Cartman gets her wish finally. Doctor, I wish to perform an abortion in the 364th trimester. But the aliens show up and the Marines do not have a good time. They get, like, Sergeant Johnson dead. Half the Marines with the flamethrowers.
They kill him
dead.
Off real quick, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I was going to say someone gets the Draconil Award in this scene for gun safety.
Oh, you're right. Someone doesn't ND.
Dietrich doesn't get killed by an alien.
Does he not?
No. Gets killed by literally accidental self-immolation.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we can officially award the Jack O'Neill Award for Gun Safety.
Okay, Dietrich, the Jack O'Neill Award for Gun Safety. Yeah, fine. Our first one that doesn't... Oh, no, wait. Rowdy gets one, and that one didn't involve a child either. Oh, Violet, so you don't know, the Jack O'Neill Award for Gun Safety is the award for someone who has nearly gotten a child or someone else killed by their negligence in gun safety. Normally a child, given it originates from Stargate SG-1, where
so
Jack O'Neill's child...
Basically that one person in, what is it? Halloween, where Michael Myers kicks the door out and they shoot themselves in the head.
Yes! Yeah, basically.
So, yeah, oh, and of course we get the... We get the famous line as well.
It's a bug hunt. It's a fucking bug hunt.
They're coming out of the goddamn walls!
Oh yeah, that's it. I didn't grab that one. But here's the thing. Ripley is a woman of action, and she does not have time to hear her. As Ripley has decided that she is mom, and she's going to adopt the Marines, who never had a good family life.
I am driving my SUV straight through this goddamn cooling tower, and I am getting my kids out of here. I don't care.
I am coming to collect my kids from soccer practice. I don't care if I have to drive my SUV through this mall to get to them on time. A suburban mom Ripley fucking blitzes through there, squashing aliens, firing the cannon because Lieutenant Gorman's like, you can't do that, stop it, and he gets shoved into the back, and Burke is on Ripley's side at this point. Like, even Burke's like, sit the fuck down, Lieutenant, you're a cuck and a soy jack, sit down in the back.
Yeah, and so they open up the doors. But one of the other Marines, Drake, is an absolute dipshit.
He's a glory hound. He's trying to pad his KDR. And unfortunately, the problem with the real life KDR is you can only die once, I'm afraid.
Yeah, he gets fucking acided in the face.
Yep. Hicks destroys his own shotgun by putting it in the alien's mouth and pulling the trigger. That is melted. That is useless. Why does it show up in 3 video games? Working. Fine.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, Vasquez is very upset at them for driving off and leaving him there. Like, no! That was my boyfriend who also used the big gun.
Fuck me! Sorry. I've just remembered something. So I mentioned the cut scene with a very familiar guy, because there's two guys walking down a corridor talking business. Mm-hmm. One of those guys is best known... It's fucking Captain Hollister from Red Dwarf. No? Not ringing a bell?
Nope.
I watched very little Red Dwarf, I'm afraid.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Fuck. Never mind then. All right, carry on.
I'm sorry.
I'm just really surprised. Sorry.
They've been it's like we can't go back for them. They've been cocooned.
Yeah, there's four Marines who are left alive. Ripley commits vehicular manslaughter to break out, but she does break the SUV.
And so she's like, okay, here's my idea. We nuke them.
Yeah, no.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Lieutenant Gorman is out cold, which means Hicks is in charge now.
Yeah, and Burke is like, no. This colony is worth hundreds of millions of... And she says, go fuck yourself. This is a military operation. Hey, Hicks, you want to nuke them?
Hell yeah! Marines!
Oh, we forgot to mention Sergeant Johnson's fucking dead.
Yeah, Johnson's dead.
He dies off screen, basically.
Johnson is the first one to go, which is... Oh, fuck. Johnson has all the max.
First one. He's close to the first one, though.
Yeah, actually see him die. Like, we see him sort of, like, scream and, like, thing. And then after, it's like, oh, yeah, he's dead, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, of course, that means we didn't see him die. So that means now that we have, like, people for, like, the last 30 years writing tons of fan fiction speculation that he's actually alive somehow. So,
Which again makes the fact that Colonial Marines decided that the surviving Marine being held hostage is Hicks, who survived the crash. Dumb. Why did?
But it's better because Hicks is a better character.
Yeah, that's true, but still.
So yeah, okay. They're like, nope, fuck you, Burke. We're gonna go back to the ship. We're gonna nuke the place. All right, bring the ship around. Let's go.
Yeah, let's pick us up.
Oh, hey, what this weird goo on our ship is?
Unexpected item in bagging area.
They're like, ah, it's probably fine. Let's take off.
Oh, that's an alien. Oh shit, I'm dead.
yeah, their way out is just destroyed now. They're stuck there.
And to make matters worse, the gunship, covered in missiles, crashed into the APC, which, honestly, they should all be dead because they said the gunship had nukes on board.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't think the gunship has nukes on it.
They did say we got everything on board: tactical missiles, smart missiles, nuclear bombs.
Oh, okay.
They are on board the gunship. So.
Oh, I thought just the actual main ship had.
No, there should have been a nuclear bomb going off.
Oh shit!
Whoops.
So yeah, they retreat back to the main facility, and they do a stock take of their remaining gear, and they're like, we've got a paperclip, a penny, and a loose strand of pubic hair left.
And MacGyver did not come with us on this mission. Where is MacGyver? Where is Jack O'Neill when you need him?
Although they do have 15 grenades, which, I mean, that's impossible. You can't carry, like, more than, like three or four grenades, right?
I think like the maximum grenades you can carry is like four. Two human grenades, two alien grenades, you know?
Exactly.
No, wait, six. You can carry two stickies later. Three. So we're like six grenades. We're looking at like a six grenade max. Maybe more if you get like a grenade.
No, they're all the same kind of grenade, so you can only carry two of them.
Yeah, you can only carry two. Okay. But they've also one of the dead Marines was the engineer from TF2, and he's left them four turrets as his last wish.
So, yeah,
Sentry here!
So they're like, Ripley's like, okay, we don't have a lot of shit left, that's fine. I'm sure they will come and rescue us if we haven't reported back for long enough. How long will that be?
17 days.
Shit.
Fuck. Okay, Hudson, stop fucking panicking. Be a man, Hudson. I am a woman and I am more of a man than you. And she whips the strap on out and smacks him across the face.
Ah, yes, Peggy.
Yes, and she's like, please. And they like, pull out, like, the plans for this place. We've got to figure out, like, where all the vents are, where all the places they could get in. We've got to lock this place down.
Yeah, we're going to play Rainbow Six Siege, except we're the defenders, and there's unlimited attackers.
It's more like GTFO, honestly, with the welding of the doors.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, they're playing GTFO. Also, we do get a cute shot. Newt's trying on a marine helmet, and that is adorable.
Yeah. Damn, those helmets are cool looking.
They are. But yeah, we get a montage. Ripley and the Marines batten down the hatches. Hicks gives Ripley a tracking device, which I think this is the first romance we've had in a movie where they actually have some kind of chemistry.
Was there a romance? They just kind of gave it. Hicks didn't really do much.
No, but there's at least like a little bit of chemistry, given like they've actually had banter, they've actually like interacted with each other. There's like mutual respect.
They've both bonded over their love for deploying nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Like, there is a more solid basis for a relationship here than in anything else we've watched, except maybe Hard Ticket to Hawaii. And that's because Hard Ticket to Hawaii was a homosexual orgy.
So yeah, they're like, okay, we've locked this place down. Everything's going to be okay. There are no more problems, right?
Yeah, Newt's got the tracker band, and about that. There's over 100 colonists, so there's probably about 100 aliens.
Oh dear.
Fuck. Also, who's laying eggs? Where's the mama?
Probably way more, to be honest.
Hadley's Hope population 166, so yeah. There was 167, but Newt survived, so 166 plus the Marines.
Well, so plus however many eggs they already had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's like grown angry aliens, not facehuggers. We're not even counting the facehuggers, that's beyond count. Like, yeah, it is. Violet's quite right. It's GTFO. Also, Bishop here slips the fuck up and is like, Mr. Burke said we should keep the facehugger specimens alive. Well, fucking did he kill them?
Oh, did he now? Thanks for sharing that, Bishop. You want to talk about that bug?
Don't worry about it. It's fine. But don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm not doing anything. It's fine. They won't know. They won't know if we bring them back. We'll be fine. Like, how will they know what we're bringing back? How will they know? They won't. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Ripley? 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 And Ripley fucking girl boss is like, I will fucking tell them. I will tell them you're carrying fucking contraband. I will tell them about the fucking aliens, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
And they will believe me because I'm nuke-filled.
Yeah, and of course, here we see it. The corporate stooge does not know the value of human life. Because he's a corporate rat.
But Ripley, have you considered money?
But
that is
Burke,
a good point.
Have you considered all those dead people, you cunt?
And also, like, how would we even get it back?
Who cares about dead people? They're dead anyway.
How are they going to do tattle? How would we even get the alien back, dipshit? Because,
yeah, they'd just know.
Well, not just that, but it'd be like, by the time you even get back, you're probably all dead on the ship, and now just have an alien there that you've just sent back to...
Yep.
You've just sent a mature alien. By the time you get back, you've sent a mature alien back to the company to kill all of them.
So are we saying that the alien is based on a comrade because they're just killing the executive class?
Exactly, yep.
Until it focuses its attention on the working class.
Ah, then it is no longer based.
No, I think we could find worker solidarity with the alien.
I mean, that is what Burke is arguing for. Burke is saying that the alien is a comrade and that together they can destroy capital. Like, every time Burke opens his mouth to talk about the alien, this just comes out. Yeah, he thinks the alien is a comrade.
He is.
No, I don't think... Actually, no, I think I know what Burke really thinks. He thinks the alien is hot and he wants to fuck it.
The alien
you
is
have
hot.
the this gives me a hard on drop.
Fuck you, Brad, too.
So what does Burke think about the alien?
This gives me a hard on.
There you go. This is why we can't be trusted with soundboards.
I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
Unfortunately, in this universe, space has very much been corrupted by capitalism.
Yeah, also, I just want to say, Sigourney Weaver looks like my fucking mum in these scenes.
Okay.
We're getting into some free territory here.
just with the like the curly black hair, she just.
We're getting into free territory here. What's the complex called when a girl wants to fuck her mom?
Yuri.
Incest.
too many doujins that keep polluting the tag when, like, okay, this looks really hot. Oh, it's incest. a 55 page, aliens. A 55 chapter story.
So aliens, yes. Literally.
Yeah, we get a little bonus scene because where the downstairs sentry gun's placed in the access shaft, they fucking burn through their ammunition like a twink in a glory hole. I mean,
getting shucked off by a twink.
Oh, I'm getting shucked off by a twink. That's what they want these days.
The GMs never responded to my feature suggestion report in Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, what's that?
I requested a new feature that you should be able to get sucked off by a twink in Final Fantasy 14. Never replied.
Well, you can.
Yeah, you can do that. You just have to mod the game enough.
Yeah, didn't apply for that. I don't know why. Anyway,
don't worry about it. It's fine. Where's the sloppy drop?
Sloppy.
So, they're not doing too hot right now.
I mean, it's only the downstairs guns. They're fine. They're gone. Is this it?
Being sucked off by a twink. That's what they want these days.
There we are.
Don't worry. Downstairs guns are gone. I'm sure everything's gonna be fine. I'm sure they've killed like most of them now, right?
Don't worry about it because bad news. The aliens have gummed up the atmospheric regulator. It's venting plasma. We don't have a bunch of human SG-1 robots to fix the coolant, so it's just gonna blow.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like it's gonna take care of the problem for us.
The nuke will also destroy a 30-kilometer radius.
Well, that sounds like the problem's taken care of for us, then.
Honestly, yeah, why not? Like, just get out on foot, run 30 kilometers, right? Like, the aliens will be looking for you in the fucking compound. Like, leave the sentry guns and just hook it on foot.
You have to do the stealth check to try and get out without them noticing.
Yeah, roll your nat 20s on stealth, sneak the fuck out, and just run 30k away and wait for pickup. Because they'll be like, oh, there's that nuclear explosion. Oh, there's a bunch of people down there. It's like, hey, pick us up, you motherfuckers. But yeah, so we've got two choices. We can stay here and die, or someone has to go and realign the dish. And Bishop the Android's like, fuck it, I'm a robot. What's the worst that could happen? I'll do it. And Vasquez is like, here, take this gun. And he says, no.
No, I'm too cool.
I'm too cool. I don't need a gun. I'm a robot. You'll need that gun, Vasquez, to shoot yourself in the head later. And we get round two, aliens versus sentry guns. And we once again see why you should always spend the scrap to upgrade your sentry to tier 3. The missiles make a hell of a lot of difference, people.
Well, unfortunately, one of the aliens is actually a spy, so...
Spy! Sapping my sentry!
God damn it! I should have known that giant xenomorph with the paper mask with Higgs' face on it wasn't really a Higgs!
But the sentries sap away as they blast through the aliens, and it turns out that, well, the good news is you kill a lot of them. The bad news is there's only 10 rounds left in one of the guns.
Uh-oh.
All this sentry stuff is not in the theatrical cut.
Really? I thought like a lot of the sentries, because they're set up in the main cut, but just not mentioned? That's
they're not,
so
they're
weird.
They're never mentioned or showed. They're just kind of there.
That's really stupid.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, the sentry gun scene's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a very integral part. Like, as much as the Marines seem like jokes, their stuff really works, and they're able to do the good thing. They're able to, like, partially save the day with their acts of incredible violence.
The only good acts.
Yeah.
I mean, they would be pretty shit Marines if they weren't good at acts of violence.
Yeah, that is true. Ripley's tired. She needs to sleep. She's like me. She's on like 3 cans of Monster, working at 8 a.m. And it's like, oh my god, please, can I sleep?
Yeah, we're probably about to be like completely get our shit wrecked. Let's just go to bed.
Yeah, let's have like one.
What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, one last good night of sleep before everything goes to shit. But Hicks is like, hey, want to go on a date? Want to go on a date where I teach you how to use the M41A1 plasma rifle?
Which, why? Why would I need to learn how to use that?
Listen, girls love being taught how to use heavy weaponry.
Do you think I might need to learn how to use this weapon, Hicks, for possibly the final act of this movie?
Maybe. But I think it'd be cool if I taught you anyway, because, you know, it's a bonding experience, you know?
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, Hicks, you think something's going to go bad that might result in me being left with this gun and being the only one that can use it?
No, but I think you're based enough that you are officially now an honorary Marine, and we should teach you how to use the gun.
Okay, I will learn how to use the gun.
Now, unlike last week, this is a gun that can have multiple rounds in the grenade launcher. I am holding that grudge! hey, Gorman's awake. Don't worry about it. So Ripley goes to check on you, brings her gun with her, and the gun is left safely on top of the bed, where nothing bad can happen.
Yes. Hopefully we don't get another... let's hope Newt doesn't give herself a Jack and Neil award.
I mean, we'll go to Ellen Ripley for gun safety, not Newt.
I think, you know, that is the most American thing Ripley has ever done. Leave a child with a gun.
Exactly.
Hey, whom's among us, right?
Yeah, whom's among
us? Yeah.
Whom's among us? Bishop's made it. He dials up Uber Eats and is like, can I get a pizza and a dropship, please? Pick us up. And the Uber Eats guy's like, sorry, we don't do service out there. You'll need to go to Deliveroo to get service out there. And the Deliveroo say, no, you have to go to Just Eat. And he has to go around the houses trying to find somewhere to actually deliver to him. Man just wants a pizza and a dropship. It's not a hard order to do.
Does he get his pizza in his dropship?
Probably. We'll find out in a minute, but it's time for the movie to shift into horror again, because who let the facehuggers out?
Who? Jeez, I wonder who!
Yeah.
It could be a complete mystery.
Yeah, the facehugger tags are open, and where is my gun? Who took my gun? And locked the door. And Burke, why are you turning the camera off? What are you doing, Burke?
Money.
Sorry. What are you doing, step bro?
What are you doing, Stepberg?
listen, I said the Burke's name would be thematically appropriate. But yeah, Ripley uses her fucking brains, triggers the fire alarm with her lighter, and yeah, we find time for one hell of a horror scene as a facehugger goes for Ripley and another one goes for Newt. It's a really good fucking scene.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
but it's okay because the fire alarm's off. Hudson and Hicks come in, save the fucking day like big damn heroes, and Hudson drains his entire mag and he only had one. Which is
and Vasquez
awkward.
Only uses like 5 shots.
Yeah, that's because Vasquez is fucking based and she could top me.
Yeah, anyway. Vasquez is based, very cool, and is so smart and incredibly tactical minded that she definitely survives the scene.
Yeah, she definitely survives this entire movie, exactly.
You think we can retcon it so that Vasquez lives?
Yeah.
Please. but yeah.
She goes out in a good way.
She does. Yeah. They come out and they're like, hey, Burke, I noticed you're named after a famous body snatcher. Were you planning to do some more of that body snatching by getting me and Newt infected with alien eggs by the facehugger and smuggling us back? No. Wouldn't dream of it.
No, I would never do that.
I'm just a little birthday boy. I'm innocent.
What are you holding there, Burke? Money?
Smoothie. What you got there, Burke? Smoothie. Why do you have Ripley's gun and the key to the facehugger cages? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Such a good movie. but yeah, unfortunately, at this moment, before they can corner Burke, the power goes out and the aliens are inside their walls.
Wah, wah.
In fact, they're in the ventilation system. The aliens are venting. The aliens have become the sussy backers.
Oh no, what are the aliens gonna do to us?
Well, they're gonna fucking kill you like the imposter in Amogus because one of them, they break through the floor and we get an action scene. But Burke is the smart coward and has already hit the bricks. He locks the door. Hudson dies, dragged through the floor, and we see the grenade launcher used. It's a very good effect by Vasquez.
Yes, Vasquez.
Once again, there's a woman I would let get behind me.
Ripped to a real one, right?
Yeah, she's not dead yet, but she will be soon.
Yeah.
Burke gets killed by an alien because he ran off ahead and didn't bring a gun.
I will say that one disappointment of this movie is that we didn't get a true alien bite, you know, like in the original.
That's true. We just cut and see Burke being fucking killed, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Marines vent, Newt leads the way, Vasquez takes the rear, but she gets injured. The lieutenant goes back for her, and they both go out together, holding a grenade. I always fucking hated you, Gorman.
You know what? I think it's a good death.
Okay, but question.
Yeah?
Do you think the aliens get good hair?
Yeah, I don't know. They could still be alive.
www.rule34.mahale.net Search tag alien.
You will find stuff.
Please, I've seen a lot of it already.
I know it exists.
What, you haven't seen it?
All right, we need to fill Frosty in on this.
No, I've seen it.
Yeah, we've all seen this. Violet, you posted some.
Did I?
Probably.
Oh, yeah, I did. I probably did. Actually, yeah.
I mean, I didn't see that, but I've independently seen it before.
On to Twitter I go.
Yep. Let's see. Oh yeah, but unfortunately the explosion from the grenade, Newt falls through the floor. We get a scene from Castle of Cagliostro where they're in like the room with all the clockwork, but this time Clarice falls and avoids being mulched. Never mind.
I will say that Newt falling in between like the floors was so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's so dumb. But the aliens capture her. we're just kind of listing off what happens because it's still all just this one big chase right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a chase slash action scene. Hicks gets attacked by a hat. Yeah. The aliens get nude. Hicks gets fucked up by an alien fucking jizzing acid all over him. And it's okay. They made it out. Everything, Hicks, Ripley, everything's going to be fine. They're just going to leave Newt and everyone else to die.
No, I won't do that.
I'm a big damn fucking hero. My name is Ellen Ripley.
And I just learned how to use a big gun.
I did just use how to... I would like to use this big gun now. This is the good thing. We have a new dropship, which means we have fresh pulse rifles, fresh flamers, fresh grenades, more than enough ammo for Ripley to create herself an abomination a beautiful
DIY gun.
Yeah. Ripley becomes Florida
and
Man.
And you said MacGyver wasn't here.
Ripley becomes Florida Man, duct tapes a flamethrower to her assault rifle. We love a woman.
Incredible.
That's competent. Well, we love a competent female hero that's well armed.
Now we gotta go rescue the Newt.
Yeah. You've got 11 minutes, you've got 19 minutes, but we're gonna waste one having a romantic scene as Ellen and Dwayne take a minute to bond.
Oh, they did not do that in the theatrical.
Oh, it's in the extended.
The only thing, the only thing that Ellen and Hicks does, Hicks is on the plane and he shoots a thing of morphine into him. That's it.
Oh, no. In the extended cut, they're like, hey, you come back alive. You've got the tracker, right? Hey.
Yeah, no. They.
You make it back alive.
No, at that point in the theatrical cut, Hicks is just on morphine. He is fucking
goes on morphine, he's like, hey, my name's Dwayne. And Ripley's like, oh, my name's Ellen.
Oh,
and she's like, fuck later.
Oh, I don't know if I can date a Dwayne.
You're not really a rock in my life, you know. But Ripley violates OSHA PSAs using a lift in a fire situation and a nuclear explosion situation.
Is there a specific, I mean, yes, about fire. Is there a specific OSHA thing about nukes?
No.
Handle like eggs, drop and run.
Specifically, did they say that you can't use a lift during a nuclear blast?
Yes.
No, of course not.
Yeah, had like eggs, drop and run. But yeah, Ripley goes in, grabs Newt, saves her from a facehugger, but oh, out of the frying pan into the fire because. It's a room full of facehugger eggs, and oh.
Uh-oh.
It's Mama.
It is Mama! She's big!
She's big. She's got a massive ovipositor full of eggs.
Yes! Hey, Mama, would it be a shame if I completely just did an abortion on you right now, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Okay. Yeah, she like makes a deal. Let me go, or I'll kill the children. And then Ripley's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna blast my way out of here anyway." And she starts blasting.
So anyway, I started blasting.
Yeah, basically, kill it with fire.
Kills it with fire. Rips apart its big egg sack.
Yeah, and then she hits the bricks.
Yeah, hits the bricks and goes, whoop! And I'm sure that alien queen lady is going to die in the nuclear blast. Let's leave now.
Why is the other lift coming up?
That was so fucking dumb. Okay, I will say, that was the dumbest thing in the movie. If they made it so that like, she just kind of like crawls up the walls like a fucking xenomorph is supposed to.
He uses the lift. And of course, now that she's on board, she's gonna go after Newt again.
Oh, yeah. So they like jump, the queen like screeches them, surrounded by fire.
Oh but... no! If only we had some kind of weapon that we could combat this queen with.
Anyway, here's the dropship. Get on board.
Only we had some kind of ordnance to fight this queen with.
Yeah, if only this dropship was covered in... don't worry about it. She's dead, right?
Yeah.
we're in space. She couldn't have survived the explosion, the trip into space.
Crucially, at the end of the first movie, the alien didn't manage to get on the ship with her, right?
Yeah.
It didn't manage to do that. It died in space. Yeah.
Oh no, the alien did it again. It got on the ship with us.
First verse, same as... Second verse, same as the first. Only this time it's bigger and angrier and meaner. Yes.
It goes off in there again.
I mean, it gets Bishop first.
Oh yeah, Bishop gets
fucking killed. Okay.
Bishop gets fucking
killed. He doesn't
get
killed. He's alive. Wah. He's just, you know...
Yeah, he's a robot. But yeah. Newt hides in the grates. Ripley hides behind a big old door. The Queen wants Newt because, boss, you killed child. You're amazing.
Queen wants Ripley or Newt because, you know, Ripley gave her an abortion. And she just wants to...
yeah.
Wants to congratulate.
Return the favor.
Yes.
Yeah, you aborted my children. I will abort your adopted child. But, you know what we love on the show?
Abortion?
What do we love?
We love a setup reminder payoff, because here is the payoff, motherfuckers!
Ripley is forklift goddamn certified!
I'm going to be...
Get away from her, you bitch!
There we go, I knew you'd have
I'm going
the
to be completely I did, yes. honest, and I might get shit for this. They didn't use the forklift that well.
No, she didn't, but it doesn't matter. She's forklift certified, and it's entertaining. What more do we need to say? The girl is forklift certified.
Yeah, and we fucking annihilate in space the Queen.
Yeah. We have a wrestling fight. The Queen tries to chomp Ripley because, of course, the Queen has a second jaw. It's a real mama-e-mama fight.
But, of course, Ripley wins.
She really should be dead, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck. Why is there not a shut-off override right by the vent button?
Well, first of all, right, who has seen... what's the fucking space horror movie?
Alien.
The other one.
Alien. 2001, A Space Odyssey?
No, that's a fucking kids movie.
Event Horizon? Yes!
Event Horizon, when that guy gets sucked out into space and they're trying to push him back in.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, he's not having a good time.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Is able to A, survive being sucked out into space, and B, is able to survive the vacuum of space for a minute or two.
That's fine, don't worry about it.
Being sucked off by a twink, that's what they want these days.
Getting sucked off into space, that's what they want these days.
It's fine, don't worry about it. It's fine, don't worry about it.
Dude, she would be so fucking dead.
Oh yeah, she is so fucking dead.
But don't worry, she's not dead. They get back.
They save them for three.
And then they're like, "Oh, thank God, Newt, we're out of this, and we're never gonna have to deal with these aliens ever again."
And then a vindictive scriptwriter kills Newt and Hicks.
Yeah. Ripley shuts everyone in cryo. Everything's fine. We're on a course for Earth. What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong is they decide to make a sequel, yeah.
So, do you want a quick summary of Alien 3 Frosty so you know what happens?
Stupid.
No.
What a it's shit so bad. Movie. Basically, it kind of rehashes 1, but Hicks and Newt die off screen. And Ripley has somehow been infected with the facehugger while in cryo sleep, which makes no fucking sense at all.
Okay.
And it's a queen as well.
It makes no sense. There's no way a facehugger would be able to A, get into cryo sleep and survive, and B, there were no fucking facehuggers on the ship.
Yeah, it's stupid.
And she dies at the end. She throws herself into lava.
Yep, to kill herself and the alien queen, which then they somehow bring her back from the genetics and clone her. And
I don't care.
Yeah, this is why it's this not is why good. 3 and 4 are, in my opinion, non-canon.
Yeah.
Please, I don't care. Okay, there's been so many fucking remakes. I don't care. Do not touch the first two movies. But if somebody just wants to do, pull a Halloween remake, and like discount the sequels and like make a continuation of a movie.
Oh, honey, they're gonna remake Alien. They're gonna do it eventually. When they run out of ideas, they're gonna do it eventually.
Nope. The next film in the Alien banner is Alien Romulus, which is,
I didn't say they're doing it right now. I was saying they're going to do it eventually when they run out of things to
do. Alien Romulus is meant to sit somewhere in the main timeline. We don't know
It's probably going to be a continuation of Revelations, or what was that? What's the latest one?
Alien Covenant.
Yeah. Because you gotta finish up that storyline, even though it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, because that's the thing. They decide to do prequel. That's the thing. Romulus is not a prequel, though. Romulus is meant to be set in the main timeline somewhere.
Please be a remake of 3. Please be a remake of 3. Please overhaul 3, for God's sake. No one likes it.
It just says, it will follow a group of young people in a distant world who find themselves in a confrontation with the most terrifying life form in the universe. Distributed by Hulu and Star Disney?
Oh,
what?
Fuck me. Never... Yeah, Disney owns Alien.
Yeah. Honestly, as much as we talk, the fact is, the best Alien and Predator movie recently is fucking Prey. The best film in this franchise they made in ages is Prey.
What do you mean? You didn't like Space Autism?
I didn't like fucking Space's Autism.
I loved that plot line in Predator.
So, what does this movie say about the military?
They're crayon-eating morons, but the grunts are good at heart and will do the right thing because they like doing violence and
corporations are evil, but do you know what is good? The military!
Complex.
It definitely has nothing to do with corporations whatsoever.
Yeah, and specifically, it's not the military because Lieutenant Gorman is a fucking hack and a moron.
Yeah.
And spends most of the movie unconscious. It's the men on the ground.
The corporations are evil, except Lockheed Martin. That's the message of the movie.
Yes, exactly. Lockmart, our good friends over at Raytheon, who sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, our good friends at Raytheon, who sponsor the podcast. We're going to do an official Stargate Oversight Pride March. And we're all going to be wearing our Lockheed Martin trans programmer socks.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to be talking about how they support diversity and the rights for everyone, just as long as you're not a Palestinian person having a wedding.
Another glorious day in the Corps.
Hurrah!
Hurrah!
Semperfy and all that shit, yeah.
Yeah, they have a program to clone Sergeant Johnson, so whenever he gets killed, he just comes back again.
What if they actually came up with a new program to combat the aliens, though?
We're just going to clone Sergeant Johnson. Eventually, he'll be immune to the Flood and the aliens.
No, what if, I'm talking about an original idea for Alien, what they could do, is what if they got they replaced the Colonial Marines, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they got a bunch of children, say, and what if with these children, they sort of did some weird genetic mutations on them and some very harsh, horrible training to them, and then put them in these really funky, cool power armor suits.
I before you mentioned the power armor, I was about to say, you're either about to invoke Space Jeffrey Epstein, or you're about to invoke Kayla. Reset the counter, it's been mentioned!
Damn it!
You talked about taking a bunch of children away. That is Jeffrey Epstein's territory.
To be fair, Jeffrey Epstein did also believe in some weird, like, eugenics thing where he was going to breed a new race of superhumans.
Does that mean eugenics is a Jeffrey Epstein reference now?
No.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, doing eugenics, that's just a reference to Hitler.
No, well, I mean, I'm sorry, it predates him quite a fair bit.
Okay.
The science of eugenics, originally came about to justify a little thing called the transatlantic slave trade.
Ah! Never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, it turns out that one of Hitler's biggest inspirations was the United States of America.
Yeah. We were...
And don't worry about it.
America number one.
So, since you are our guest, Violet, is there anything you want to plug?
Twitch.tv/Violet the Bat Films.
Yeah.
Go watch me.
Go watch.
Go look at my Twitter.
Watch Violet.
Go look at my Twitter. She's cool. Violet Bat one on for me liking a lot of hentai. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Weren't you literally saying that the podcast feed is just full of Yuri because of me the other day?
Yeah. So on the podcast Twitter account, I was saying that most of the feed is just Hope retweeting Yuri.
Yeah, she does do that a lot.
Well, Frosty is banned from Twitter. Ryan, we don't have his Twitter. We think he's just liking porn.
Yeah. So what I will say is, if I eventually get that fabled invite to Blue Sky, maybe you better find me on there one day. But yeah, I'm nowhere right now. Apart from Twitch.
Mm. Twitch.tv/OpticiaFrost.
That's right, yes.
Hell yeah. You can find me at HFreyerall on Twitter. I post a shitload of Yuri and also talk about when I'm going to post the podcast and stream. I do post the podcast previews on there now. I don't use the account because I'm lazy. We need to get Ryan to make little TikTok clips for us, because apparently that's a great way to promote this podcast, and Ryan doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so speaking of the podcast, we have our next episode is going to be the bonus episode.
Yeah, patreon.com/SGOpodcast, just $3.50 a month. And if that's not, and if that's just not something you feel like you could afford or justify, at least give us a rating online, you know. Get some views our way.
Tell people about us.
Yeah.
Make a grandma listen to us. Get a bot. Develop a bot and artificially inflate our ratings by having a bunch of bots download our podcast and put us on
the trending site. What is this trans girl with an set of it's pronouns? What the fuck is this, child? What the fuck are you smoking?
Thank you all for listening to yet another episode of Stargate Oversight.
And remember, Alien 3 and 4 are not canon.
Yes, if you have access to Patreon, the next episode for you will be Uwe Boll's Far Cry.
We might need to find a guest because Ryan is really fucking sick.
That is unfortunate. Okay, we'll sort something out.
Violet, want to come back on to talk about Far Cry?
No, I'm not fucking talking about an Uwe Boll movie. Fuck off.
So yes, if the next one for you is the free feed, I believe the next one on the free feed will be us returning for season 2 of SG-1 now?
Yes, season 2, episode 1 of Stargate SG-1.
It's actually technically episode 2, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, we cheated. Season 2, episode 1, in the line of duty.
Alright, everybody, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye! Bye.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Stargate Oversight. Stargate Oversight is, as always, myself, Hope Freyall, Arctisha Frost, and Ryan, who was not here. Our special guest, Violet the Bat, can be found on Twitter and Twitch as Violet the Bat Films. Also, don't forget to check our Patreon, which is where next week's episode will be. We're doing... I hate this. I'm recording this after we recorded the episode. I fucking hated doing this episode. I fucking hate my co-host for what she made us watch. We're doing Far Cry. Come listen to us suffer, please. And it would mean a lot to us if you could rate the podcast. Tell your friends, you know. We're trying to have a tough. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do this good. But if you are on the free feed, your next episode will be In the Line of Booty as we start season 2 of Stargate SG-1. Thank you very much for listening and have a lovely day wherever you are in the world.